That was One Day by Modest Yahoo from the album Light.
Hi, my name is Willis Boyd.
And I'm Shantae Duncan. And you are listening to Positive Perspective,
where we shine a positive light of Jesus Christ on the scriptures, music, our communities, and world issues.
Positive Perspective is a show that's trying to hear the opinions of the community with an open mind. We are a Christian organization believing in the resurrection of Christ, and we want to know what you all are thinking. Our views may not necessarily be the same views of this radio station.
Tonight, in-house discussion is on domestic violence. And so our in-house guest tonight is Erling Anthony and Melvin Ishmael Johnson.
Hey.
Welcome.
And Denise Boyd and Savannah.
Yeah. Hello.
And so what we're going to do is we're just going to open up in discussion. And I might just add that there's a lot of different ways we could come at this. Every person's different. Everybody doesn't look at it the same way. I might be coming at it a little bit light, but we can work into it. But to quote Dr. Walter Martin, he had a saying that said, if there's no poop in the barn, there's no work getting done in the fields. So if there's no work getting done in the fields, there's no poop in the barn. So if you got poop in the barn, you got stuff that's getting done, okay? So that poop in the barn is conflict between couples, okay? So I guess what he's saying is, if you got anything you're working on and you're working on it with somebody, there's going to be conflict. So what takes that conflict to domestic violence? Or is it considered violence when you're arguing with somebody? What do they call it? Mental?
Well, we watched your show, and I think it was Mellow Desire that was talking about like a mental domestic violence, where I guess it's verbal and emotional and affecting your thinking and that kind of thing, where it's not really physical, but it's still damaging to self-esteem and that kind of thing.
And what levels that, you know, some people, if you go boo, it's like, oh gosh, you know, that's, I can't take this. I'm calling the police and you're going to jail. So we kind of want to get into, you know, what's domestic violence? What is real domestic violence, or, you know, what categorizes that?
Mm-hmm.
So anybody like to comment?
Well, I think domestic violence can come in a lot of different forms. Not just in, between husband and wife. It can be between kids, father to son to daughter, et cetera, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be verbal. In many cases, most people I talk to, they think that verbal abuse is more harsher, really, than physical abuse. Because of the way it breaks down a person's self-esteem, can lead to a lot of mental illness and all that kind of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I also think it has a lot to do with culture, the type of environment a person come out. I think the main thing that leads to a lot of domestic violence is a lack of communication and understand communication that you have.
When you say culture, it's like I just heard this. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's true, but they say Jerry Lewis, the comedian, mm-hmm. was a very, very harsh, cruel man to his family.
Mm-hmm.
And his children, I guess, said that on TV. But what kind of culture do you think he came out of? Just to kind of...
You mean like an environment, or do you mean culture as in...
ethnic, because they have a shared culture history that's different, like African-American history.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you could look at the Jewish history, like what probably somebody like Jerry Lewis come out of.
Uh-huh.
And you look at a lot of the Jewish people that were just coming out of the Holocaust, you know, their parents went through the Holocaust and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit different. From, you know, African-American went to slavery and all that kind of stuff.
Being beaten to...
Yeah, and the dynamics would be different as opposed to a European family, even though you have a lot of the similarities, you still have a lot of difference in the how they view things.
Yeah.
And then you also have to bring into the a spiritual religious concept, you know, whether or not they come out of a Islamic society, a purely Islamic society, right, that might have different rules and regulations, or a different type of Christian society that might be. And then you have to say whether or not they're conservative Christians and stuff that believe, mm-hmm, you know, in how the scripture guide them in terms of their domestic life.
Okay, so when we say domestic violence, I mean, yes, when you say domestic, that kind of opens the door to spousal, other than spousal abuse. Mm-hmm. So when you say domestic,
it's in the home.
Yeah, so Denise, you would say something?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it's necessarily so much as ethnic as it is social economic. I think it's prevalent in poor families more so than richer families. And I think probably because a lot of the richer families, they have nannies that are raising them and other forms and stuff, so they're not as involved with their children as maybe middle class or lower middle class or poor families may be.
Mm-hmm. So which kids are turning out better? The rich ones?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily the rich ones or the poor ones. I think a lot of that just comes from what the actual beliefs and how you're raising your kids and the values and stuff. So I don't think, mm-hmm, I think the values are more so than what the social economic levels are.
Mm-hmm. And I agree that I think economics have a lot to do with it, because of a lot of times the economic pressure will create tensions within the nuclear family that a lot of, in many cases lead to domestic violence. Mm-hmm. And then the structure of society, you know, a lot of times you have situations, this is what I mean about culture, then you have a lot of situations where the wife may be making more of a job opportunity. A lot of times she might make twice as much as the husband may.
What are you saying there, Melvin?
I'm saying
all across the board, or just
families?
It puts pressure on the man?
I know it puts pressure, but are you saying black families?
No,
I think
it's universe.
I agree with what Denise would say, when there's more social economic issues and stuff in a type of capitalistic society that we live in, uh-huh, you're going to see the same kind of issues, whether the person is black, Hispanic, or whatever like that. Because usually, you know, for example, the more resources and the money that you have, on the weekends, if you got a private plane, if you got money, you can go to Vegas on the weekend. Whereas, you know, to get away from the type of pressure, but certain economics would tie you into, you can't do those type of things. You got to deal with that particular situation.
You can't get away from your surroundings or get a break. But I don't know. That sounds kind of, that sounds a little bit weird, because, I mean, you go to Vegas and you get in debt, and then you come home and you beat your woman because you lost all the money and the bills need to be paid. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
not so much Vegas.
Yeah, I was going to say it doesn't have to be just Vegas. It's just a vacation. Mm-hmm. Just an example.
Well, I mean, it's just all kinds of things happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay, let's get into a man putting his hands on a woman. I mean, is that justified in any case? Any case?
I don't know. Zero tolerance. Both ways, though. Uh-huh. When a woman putting a hand on a man, anyway, mm-hmm, I think you have to just draw the line.
There's some people that would disagree with that and say if she does put her hands on a man, that he shouldn't hit her back. I think that's a big argument too, is that he's stronger and he should be able to protect himself or whatever like that. So I think a lot of people,
With the exceptions of. The rules have changed lately because of same-sex marriage, all that kind of stuff have brought in different dynamics.
And what are you saying there? Yeah.
Well, same-sex marriage, when you have, just say, the particular role in same-sex marriage, mm-hmm, where someone is more masculine, mm-hmm, someone's feminine, et cetera, like that.
Oh.
I'm saying that you have to draw the line. When I said draw the line, it have to be a zero tolerance policy. You can't make any excuses to allow the female to hit a, to put her hands on the male or on any of the kids, vice versa.
Is that practical? I mean, is that even, to me, that sounds insane. I mean, well, if you get, I mean, in America, and probably a lot all over the world, if you mess up and there's a cop standing there or a policeman with a club, what is he going to do with that club?
Well, I think it comes down to what do you consider when you say putting your hands on someone? I think there's a putting your hands can be, are you talking about slapping them or hitting them or whatever? Or if you're talking about there's an argument going on in the, and one or the other, depending upon, you know, let's say just necessarily maybe the woman's coming at the man and he grabs her by the arms to put her over so that, you know, to try to stop any kind of violence. I mean, to me, that's not slapping or putting her, it's trying to
restrain
that, you know, I don't mean, you know, choking her or something, but it may be to grab her to say, come on, we got to calm this on down and get it back to a level where even if we're yelling at each other, at least we're communicating, we're not going to start.
But what if he's ticked and she comes at him like that and he just gives her one to let her know?
I don't think putting your hands on there and slapping or hitting, but I think to try to restrain somebody, because they can be hurting themselves also. You know, you've seen that where they just, you know,
hit the man and break your hand because he's so much stronger.
Like that, and they're, you know, they're grabbing and throwing and doing whatever, and you're trying to stop the situation for where it's at and bring it back down to a level where you can start communicating.
That's kind of, and you know what, it's kind of, I guess, kind of just tricky. Like, you know, everybody knows what they do in their bedroom, you know, and everybody knows what they do in their household. And like me, I think it's healthy to draw lines and have boundaries where a woman or a man should know not to pass a certain point that you know, like, and I'll just say, I don't want to put you guys, Denise knows how to push my buttons. She knows how to do that. And I know how to do the same. So if she pushes me past a point, you know, and I'm just talking in general, then is she expecting something or does she want something? I mean, this is a crazy world. I've listened to a lot of things. I've seen a lot of things. And people are just crazy, and they have their own idea of what they want in a relationship. And sometimes people want that physical abuse in relationships. And then sometimes other people will abuse their spouse, and then when they get the results they desired, they call the police. So, I mean, is that... How do you defend against that sort of thing?
Well, many times there's not just one set answer, you know, like everything's cut and dried or in black and white. Because like you say, Denise know how to push your buttons. And a lot of times people pushing each other's buttons, that's not the main issue. It's something, you know, like the backstory that leads up to that. Why are you pushing my button or his button, you know, because a lot of things that are going on, you know, they may come out in domestic violence, but there's a lot of stuff prior to that that's going on that should be dealt with. Domestic violence in no case should be acceptable. Man, woman, boy, girl, whatever. It should not be acceptable, and people should not hit each other, you know, angry or even a lot of time in playing, it gets out of hand. And people try to save face, and it escalates.
Right.
You know.
I've seen that happen.
So it shouldn't.
So should we just sit here and say there's never going to be any more wars?
No, we can sit here and say it, but it's not true.
So can you sit here and say that there's not going to be any domestic violence, that we're not going to put our hands on each other, when I think a lot of times it's just human nature?
Well, a lot of time it is reaction. You know, you hit me, I'm hitting you back, you know. But you have to be...
I think even the person that hits first.
Right.
I think a lot of times it's human nature. It's what we do. Not all of us do that. But like Melvin was saying, the environment I grew up in, on the playground, everywhere you went, you had to fight. You had to fight, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like you had to fight, or, you know, you had to...
That's right, but it don't make it right.
No, it doesn't make it right, but it's it's what you had to do all your life to get over and to survive.
And then I think the difference that comes with that is the whole, when we say domestic thing, I think we're thinking about something similar to a nuclear family. We're thinking about within the orbit of the family, as opposed to what's happening out in the environment outside of
when
the family.
When you say nuclear.
The nuclear family. The perfect nuclear family, when they're talking about mother, father, I mean husband, wife, children.
Uh-huh.
They consider that, they look at that as the family unit coming together. Now, the reason that I... and then another thing we have to look at in terms of the media and the society, I just believe in the society that we live in, there's so much hypocrisy, especially in relationship to the media. And let me give you an example. Right here in Los Angeles, you know, I think we live in Los Angeles, and the media here and the whole atmosphere is probably the most hypocritical people that you're going to meet for this particular reason.
You watch yourself now, okay. Melvin. You watch yourself.
All right. When they talk about domestic violence, right, as if they concerned about it, and then I just don't see it with Skid Row down there. I don't see it when women's is laying in the street, children have to go to, what is that? You know, how can anybody believe that they concerned about domestic violence, what's happening with women's, and right in they midst is just madness jumping off down there. And one more point I want to make. When you look at the whole, when you look at the whole study of everything about the Messiah Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can probably think about only one incident that people would bring up that he got violent. You know, it's a very debatable issue on the reason. I think you mentioned something.
I mentioned
when the hygiene.
Yeah, when you turn over all of the hygiene.
He had to do that twice,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, but as far as anybody, you know, man beating his wife, because you take certain vows, see, and then that's what a person have to look at. It's a big difference between shacking and marriage. Marriage, you take vows in a certain rules and regulations that you agree in the name of God that you're going to abide by. See, when two people shack, what agreement? You made no agreement or anything. You just, that's a whole different, you know, issue. But domestic violence is involved in both of these issues and stuff. See, to me, the whole purpose of a family is to produce a better generation, right?
I mean, now that's what Kieran Wendell is all about, just about. Kiara is trying to find a way to meet the right man and raise godly children. Thought I'd throw a plug in there. but what you're saying about the women down on Skid Row, I did hear you mention that on
yeah,
the
we watched the last show.
Show
you guys did.
Do you want to comment on that? Or?
I guess we were discussing and we were saying a lot of the women down there or people down there in general kind of choose to be in that lifestyle.
Well, it's like,
we're just
to me, I can't.
But do you think so?
We're trying to figure out how to make a connection between women that are suffering from domestic violence and women on Skid Row.
Because I go back to something that Denise said earlier. I think what's happening in Skid Row have a lot to do with economics, the socioeconomic conditions. But yet and still, I think this is one of the problems that we have with domestic violence, is we try to get so many different definitions that apply to different kind of situations, and we just got them. It's simple. That little zero means a lot. That means, what do zero mean?
It means
zero.
That's nothing. What when they say nothing, zero nothing. Tolerance.
But see, it's not going to happen, Melvin. It's never going to happen. Because, yeah. I mean, the cops now, they roll up.
At least you have a starting...
They roll up to your house now, and they take both of you to jail now. But you know what they're doing? They're getting money from angerment management classes, and they're charging you this kind of marriage, and you know.
But at least you have set a standard. If you say I'm pretty sure you're not going to have 100% that's going to follow anything, but you got a standard.
I know, but you're not going to have 60% in that area. I don't think.
But you still got a standard. You still got, in a particular society, you still got something that you're working towards.
Well.
Because the whole essence is to work towards a peaceful household, right?
Yeah. Peaceful society. But I think also what it is now, because it's become such a, been brought more to the forelight of what's going on and stuff. There is, and I happened to work with a girl. She had a guy that was living with her. She wanted him out. He didn't want to leave. You know, you got to go through the eviction process. When she went downtown, there was a police guy that told her, you know, put an orange or an apple in a sock and beat the crap out of yourself and then call the cops and they have him out of there.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, so, you know, sometimes, you know, it's not necessarily domestic violence that's going on. You know, it's other things that cause things. And because everybody's looking at it now, it looks like it's increased dramatically. I mean, I heard something on the news the other day that said in L.A. City that the amount of calls coming in from last year to this year on domestic violence had gone up 20%. And they were wondering, is there more people that are, you know, getting beaten and stuff, or is it just becoming more...
More people calling in
and reporting it than what went on, and they don't really know at this point in time.
I think it's more coming to the, say, the forefront or in the news because of the high-profile people that are involved. Because it's like, if you think back, you know, even 10, 15 or so years ago, how much did we hear about domestic abuse? And it was there. It was, you know... We know it was there.
People just wasn't reporting
it or calling in or whatever. But now that the profile, you know, high profile celebrities and people are, you know, in the news, you know, they have to discuss and, you know, try to get somebody to be the scapegoat, you know, to take up some of that.
I think that back 10, 15 years ago, the women loved the men more so they wouldn't press charges.
I don't think so.
You don't think that love has something to do with that?
I think their love for them can kind of cover it up, or they'll make excuses for it. I think people were getting on the Ray Rice thing and how his wife was actually apologizing for what was going on and stuff like that. And people were getting outraged because she was apologizing for what he did. But I think her love for him might be the reason why she's staying with him and why she isn't leaving him. Or
nobody knows why that whole thing went down, or do they?
I don't think anyone would know, but really.
But do it matter?
But yeah, I mean, what I'm saying, in my opinion, you know, there are heartless women out there, like I was talking to you guys out there. There are women, how they fight and how they destroy a man is they take his heart, rip it out of his chest, throw it on the ground, and step on it. Now, men are physical, okay? When he goes upside her head, when the cops get there, he can't see his heart on the ground smashed. All he sees is the lump on her head. Okay, well,
I think also is when you were talking about, is it more love that went on 10, 15 years ago? I think it was more that people didn't air their dirty laundry. It stayed in their household, you know? You just didn't put out in public what went on in your bedroom, in your household at all. And now it's just become more, the doors are thrown open.
And it gets
aired out.
And a lot of times people say, I love, you know, Snooki or whoever, and maybe my love, and if I stay there, it's going to change. He may hit me once, but he's not going to hit me again because he loves me. But I don't think so.
You don't think that's the way it is?
Well, a lot of women think that. They have that in mind, but I don't think it's going to change because, you know, once somebody hits you, they're subject to hitting you again and again and again because you're taking it, you know.
Hey, so I'll put it like this.
Say
a man and a woman gets into it and a man hits the woman, but he's not beating her. He just hits her out of anger or whatever, and that's not what he wants. Or a case where a man gets mad. He wants to leave, but the woman won't let him leave. You know? I mean, it happens. And so he hits her to get out of there.
He's crossing the line.
Right. And he just wants to leave, but she's, you know, frantic and blah, blah, blah. So do you think that man has got the character to beat that woman and to do those things? Because she won't let him just walk off and cool down.
If someone, I feel, hit you in anger once, I believe they're going to get angry enough again to hit you more than once.
So any man,
I think it's going to happen again.
Any man or woman that potentially hits anybody is going to turn into a vicious beater.
I don't mean a vicious beater, mm-hmm. but I believe that they'll do it again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you get ready.
Just start. You started at halftime.
Okay. Yeah, the announcement.
You start that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you start the music.
Mm-hmm.
Did they hear me? Can anybody hear me?
They sure can.
All right, we're going to take a break from our discussion. We are broadcasting live from the fabulous Skid Row Studios in beautiful downtown L.A. You can visit iTunes.com to download podcasts from previous shows. And if you'd like to call in, our number is 800-893-9562. Drama Stage Qumran has a weekly veterans theater workshop led by Melvin Ishmael Johnson and Erlene Anthony. The workshop's on Wednesday nights from 5:30 to 7:30, and a free course in stage managing, playwriting, and more. If you'd like more information, you can contact Melvin Ishmael Johnson at 213-479-1764 or email them at dramastage1@yahoo.com. I'd like to give a shout out to our engineer, Jenny Guzman, for being such an awesome professional. Thank you, Jenny. And if you'd like to be a part of our show through sponsorship, contact us at 951-789-1046. If you'd like to learn more about Positive Light Ministries and donate, please visit our website, positivelight.org, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/wearepositivelight. We'd also like to send out our prayers to Pastor Ben Seiler. He was in a car accident. He's fine. So praise God for that he's okay. Willis, you wanted to say anything for him?
Yes, I just like to... reach out to him and his family and praise God that everybody's fine. Really missed you here tonight, but these things happen. So praise God that you and your family are well.
Okay, I'd like to get back to our discussion.
Okay, this is Positive Perspective, and we're discussing domestic violence. And we have Erlene Anthony and... Melvin Ishmael Johnson, Denise Boyd, and Savannah, and Shantae's a co-host. So let's get back on that.
Well, I wanted to say that I think two words that's important in terms of domestic violence, because when we have a discussion on domestic violence, I guess the whole purpose is to make things better, to come up with some kind of solutions that would help people that's going through this. I think two of the most important words that should be emphasized, you know, in a relationship, in a nuclear family, is respect and communication. Mm-hmm. See, and when I say respect and communication, the reason, when you see the breakdown of the family unit, which is what have kind of happened in our society now, I think you talked about it in your last show when you was talking about so many single heads of the household and with fathers missing out of the household. But see, one of the things that dealt with the socioeconomic aspect of it, I'm just going to use the African-American as a model for this, coming up in the southern state, coming up out of the south, and had the religious aspect of the black church that emphasized family time. And when I said family time, a time when families used to sit down together for meals, like they would sit down for breakfast. They would have an evening meal where the family was there. That's a time to really, really enhance what I'm talking about, the concept of communication mm-hmm. and respect. See, but with the breakdown of the family unit, we don't have that now. We have people eating on the run, you know, that whole communication process is broken down. And this is something that I think we're going to have to work on in terms of helping, especially the next generation of young people mm-hmm. who haven't experienced it.
So what are you saying? Back in the day, that that the man wasn't going upside the woman's head because they were sitting down eating together?
I'm thinking about it was less of that. When all I'm saying is that you have created a concept of communication, which was very important when they used to have the family meals. Mm-hmm. You know, you get breakfast, family's there. You're sitting at the table. You can teach respect because what? Before you reaching for the, hey, well, get your hand off of that. Everybody got to say a prayer first. You know, that's a part of what I'm talking about like that. You know, and then the evening meals. It was a time to communicate on what's happening in a person's life. Hey, John Jr., how you doing in school? You know, what's happening with that project you're working on? See, all of that is missing when you see the breakdown of the family unit, when you have single heads of the household, all of these kind of things coming back. And I think this is what we're going to have to put back together.
I mean, you really seriously believe that's going to happen? Because when I grew up, when I was growing up, that didn't happen. I think when we sat down and ate, it was probably Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, but we just didn't, as a family, we just didn't do it like that, you know? I'm just saying.
And I think it makes a difference. And it starts with these religious institutions. It starts, this is where you tell whether you're dealing with a good church or not, or a good religious institution that emphasize the family unit and all that kind of stuff. See? So all I'm saying is that subjects like domestic violence and all that kind of stuff usually come from miscommunication, miscues and all that kind of stuff where a person would say something and the other may think that they might mean something else. So it's clearly to have the more communication you have and the more respect, the less that you're going to have people that want to get physical and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, I think back on what Melvin was saying, you know, when women had to go back into the workforce, when you had to have the man and the woman working just to survive. It wasn't like, you know, back, you know, 40, 50 years ago when mom stayed at home, raised the children, dad went off to work and came back where you could have breakfast together and dinner together. When women went into the workforce because of, you know, they say women's lib and stuff, but a lot of times it was just that the wages weren't keeping up with the cost of living of what was going on, and both parents had to go to work. Kids were fending for themselves. You know, a lot of times the man would work one shift and the woman would work the other shift. So at least you didn't have a latchkey kid at home. You would try to have at least one parent there to keep, you know, some kind of, you know, civil things going on inside there. And I think that's when you're saying about the breakdown of sitting together and having meals where you could discuss how your day went. Mm-hmm. Also, I think that caused more conflict with men and women because the woman was out there in the workforce dealing, you know, with things, and the man would come home. He was maybe trying to cook dinner and help the kids with the homework instead of the wife being there to take care of those things.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Uh-huh. And I think it's so important to not that all of that's just the reality of the situation. All I'm saying is that making those kind of adjustments, you know, and recognize that a lot of times these are some of the issues that lead to violence in a relationship.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's take it to, we're a melting pot, America, a lot of immigrants and people coming in from other countries. Is there a lot of domestic violence, say, in the Latino communities? Or, like you said, maybe not European, but African.
Yeah.
Everybody's coming in, and they're here. And you say kind of like this thing where we have to do this, but a lot of those people are living, like you're saying, in their own communities, and they have their own communities, basically, mm-hmm. is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Is that going on? I mean, are they're yeah, not a lot of times they're not even trying to learn about America.
Let me give you an example. In the Hispanic community and the Islamic community, Islamic immigrants just coming over here, which is a culture thing. In the Hispanic community, they had a concept that they called machismo, right? Mm-hmm. And they just beginning to deal with that particular concept. And it was, and that caused a lot of domestic violence within the a lot of the Hispanic family units and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. And it came to the forefront. You know, a lot of female organizations brought this to the forefront, and they began to deal with it. You can't deal with a situation until you find out what the problem is. Mm-hmm. See, and then you, a lot of Islamic immigrants that would come over here, and they also, in a way, misinterpret the same little piece of scripture in their scripture that's misinterpreted a lot of times that's in the Bible. They're talking about spare the rod, spoil the child. I mean, they got them out there beating them to death because they say, oh, I got some justification for it. And same thing in the Quran when they would say that they would allow them beat, hit them just a little like that. So they come over here and you have a culture shock that leads to not only domestic violence in a lot of the immigrants, Islamic community, mm-hmm. but a lot of deaths and stuff because they used to get down on the Islamic females who would become a part of the mainstream society here that led to a lot of violence. Mm-hmm. So you have to bring these things to the forefront and then deal with them, figure out a way what's happening.
You think that it's a misunderstanding in their religious belief that they're beating their children out of control or beating their children too much? Or
not so much a misunderstanding. It's a culture differences when they, I'm trying to, certain things that you could do back in your acceptable Islamic country and you come over here to the United States that is against the law and it's just mm-hmm. not unacceptable and stuff like that. See, and they just beginning to deal with that issue also. Because there's been a lot of what they call, not mercy killing, honor killings. Mm-hmm. See, where if a daughter might go out and date or drink or something like mm-hmm. that, it was up on, you've had situations, you got fathers and mothers doing time right now for killing their daughters behind that.
Okay, I think Willis is going to have me read a scripture.
Yeah, mm-hmm. go ahead and read that. Pardon me?
Where?
From 1 to...
Okay, Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
Okay, now what is that? Fathers, do not exasperate your children. What does that mean? What version is
okay.
Yeah. Well, it's saying in the
it's in another King James, version, it says provoke.
Oh, not provoke.
And you know, to how do you say, discourage them. So I think the Bible makes
balance.
It, yeah, the Bible makes it clear that we are not supposed to. It says spare the rod, spoil the child. But I think if you read the Bible and you want to understand God's way, that He has plenty in there that will teach you His ways. Mm-hmm. So if you want to, just like that football player, beat that little kid's butt with that switch until he bleeds, that's what you're going to do. But he cannot, or we cannot, say that God's word led us to this, because it's like almost the head of the house, the man says, I'm the head of the house, and then he treats his woman like a piece of crap because he's the head and she's supposed to listen to everything he says. But that's mm-hmm. not what the Bible teaches. But that's what men use. I'm the head of the house. Mm-hmm. And even Christian men, they throw that in the woman's face. They say, I'm the head of the house.
To justify
mm-hmm. the things that he wants to do. But that's not what the Bible is teaching. And I just kind of wanted to make mm-hmm. that clear. And I don't know what the Islam's believe, or is it the Quran? Mm-hmm. I don't know what that teaches, but I, you know, I would hope that there's clarification in there for when these books of knowledge instruct us, that they put the instructions in there. If we follow them, that we're going to do all right.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we might have to close the discussion for now, because I think we're going to mm-hmm. perform.
Okay.
And then have some closing comments. But thank you for contributing. It was a good discussion.
Thank you.
As I stand here before you, I reflect on the events of the day. My life just seems so magical, a grand spectacle, a gorgeous display. A wonderful fairy tale unfolding, where everything you wish for comes true. No poisonous apples, no demons, no monsters, no witch's brew. Now we all know life is no fairy tale, and only few of you know. As a child, I took my mother's hand, and she led me through the streets of Skid Row, often disappointed and discouraged, not knowing where we would stay. But God said he'd never leave nor forsake me. That's why I'm standing here today. I used to go home and pretend I wasn't hurting. Fake a smile every day, practice makes perfect. I flipped the script on all the pain that I felt and kept my poker face with the cards I was dealt. Had to grow up without anybody's help. Mom didn't teach me, had to learn it for myself. Nothing but love, cause she gave me all she had. A product with a past, and I was the seed. And Papa left the scene, huh? I guess he couldn't stay. The only thing he taught me was how to run away. I tried hard to fit in, but I was out of place. Feeling like E.T., no Katy Perry, Kanye. I thought life was a joke, and I was a comedian. But punchlines couldn't hide the demons. And it's safe to say that I was falling apart, Mac Miller. God was not knocking on my heart. Cause life is over in a flash, would I blink and miss it? Get a couple snapshots and miss the big picture? No options, I had to let God in. A kid from the gutter, now I'm shooting for the stars,
man. I've decided to live each moment in Christ. For life, for life. I decided to live each moment in Christ. For life, for life. I decided to live each moment in Christ. For life, for life. I decided to live each moment in Christ. For life, for life.
Looking back, I was struggling down the wrong road, but life's a struggle, love and lost and pain, nothing but trouble still. I'm on this road, trying to find my own way, stumbling, fumbling, bumbling, my stomach's grumbling. I'm hungry, trying to find a way that's right for me, trying to see what life is supposed to be. Meet a girl, maybe get her home by the sea, holding hands, feeling that ocean breeze, ha. Reality check, got a knife in my back. Society's got a foot on my neck. I'm the suspect. Forget about we serve and protect. They put me in jail before they ever show me respect.
Your scars are still healing. The first cut's the deepest. Walk through the fire. Rise from the ashes like a phoenix. Never looking back at the things I can't change. Jesus struck a match. I see my past go up in flames. So raise your hands to the sky. Know that you can make it. Hold your head high. Teardrops hit the pavement. And we all have to die to start living. The end of one road. A new journey just beginning. Done with the pipe dream. Strumming on my sixth string. Releasing all of my emotions on the paper. It's time to let go of all your pain and your anger. Now let me introduce you to my Savior.
I decided to live each moment in Christ. For life. For life. I decided to live each moment in Christ. For life. For life. I decided to live each moment in Christ. For life, for life. I decided to live each moment in Christ. For life, for life.
Thank you, that was Shante Marie Duncan. And I am Willis Boyd.
Yes.
Thank you. No, they never clap.
No.
They're in awe. They're all in awe.
Yeah, that's
sorry.
What it is. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Okay, so we got a little time left.
5 minutes.
Earlene, would you like to add
closing comments?
Well, I just thank you, Shante and Willis and Denise, for having us on your show. And I say you guys are doing a wonderful job. This is the second in a series of your show. Mm-hmm. And I just thank you for asking us to come in and participate.
Thank you for thanking us.
Yeah, great show. And one suggestion I would have, because you guys have so much talent, and you cheat the audience when you don't do a live piece. Mm. Every week you should do a live piece.
Oh, come now.
You know I want you to do Darker Than Blue and Butterfly. Hey, man, work on that. Man, treat the audience with all this talent that God has given
you. There's so many issues and so many important things. And you know what? I want to apologize.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not taking this subject lightly. That's just who I am. I'm just trying to, you know, but this is not... something that we take lightly. I just want to try to hit it at different angles and, you know, cover the bases, you know, not just have this, that, but there's a lot of situations in this world and we're all different.
Yes.
And some people like to be beat, you know, and some people don't. And that's just what makes the world go round.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not trying to be, you know, take this as a light issue. And anything you want to say about Drama Stage Qumran?
Yeah, I wanted to just say, hey, come out to our workshop every Wednesday at 5:30 over at the Vortex. It's right near the corner of Olympic and Santa Fe, where we'll be training stage managers. And also tune in to some of the other new shows that's starting over here. Bobby Buck got a show on Friday at 7 o'clock. Occupy Skid Row with Chaplain Buddy at Tuesdays at 8 o'clock. 9 o'clock, you have the Norman Report that follow Occupy Skid Row. And other excellent different kind of shows that's on Skid Row Studio. So check it out.
In beautiful downtown L.A.
Beautiful.
And Denise, would you like to say anything in closing?
Yeah, I think the main thing is if you're in an abusive relationship and you're constantly getting beat, you need to seek help. You're not going to win that battle by yourself. And there's a lot of organizations out there that you can go and get help. And I just don't stay in that situation if you think it's going to change, because it's not going to.
And yeah, it's a lot of people are misled to believe that God would have you stay in a marriage like that. But I don't believe that's accurate. And even I've heard tell of churches counseling
women try to work it out
to stay in a relationship like that. But I don't believe that that's what God wants. And for anybody is to just be beaten and abused and torn down physically and mentally. So, Savannah, would you like, you have any comments?
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Good night, Savannah. And I'm in Castleview and in B2. And I love my school.
She loves her school. She loves her school.
Okay, that was beautiful. Thank you for that. That will be all. Okay, so can you give our information one more time?
Yeah, you can find out more information about Positive Light Ministries at positivelight.org. And you can also find out about Positive Perspective, catch up on past shows on Skid Row Studios' website. And our Positive Light Facebook page, we also post past episodes. So that's facebook.com/wearepositivelight.
All right, that's our show.